Greet each one of you again this afternoon in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I might be a little bold, but I'd like to ask each one of you if you would mind with to move forward. We want to sing hymn number 484, and if you don't mind, I would love for you all to just move up so we could be one family. It seems a little awkward to have several open benches behind us. Might be a little out of character, but I really appreciate it if we would do that. So let's just sing hymn number 484.
Going down, I meet Jesus, and well in my heart, to drink the flowing fountains of everlasting love. When shall I be delivered from this vain world of sin? And with my blessed Jesus, drink endless pleasures in. But now I am a soldier, my captain's gone before. He's given me my orders and tells me not to fear. And if I am faithful, they crown my fear. And
thank you all for your singing. That was beautiful. I think I could spend the whole hour listening to you sing. What a blessing to come and worship together. I don't know if many of you know. I didn't pay attention to this for a long time, but on the Israel calendar, this week is the week of Passover. And that is such a blessing to me to stand before you on Israel's week of Passover. And I don't think, up until a couple years ago, that I had any correlation between Passover and communion. One time I was making a long drive and I listened to the whole book of Exodus in one setting. And I nearly hung my mouth open as I said, "That's Jesus Christ." And it was so inspiring to me that I spent a good bit of time trying to put together the dates of the Passover, the dates of Christ, how that all works. And I know there's many of us that have different dates, and I don't know if that's important. One thing that came to me over that study was, in the way I understand it, it perfectly lines up with Scripture, and I couldn't find one single place that actually contradicted itself. And that to me was extremely inspiring to know that God has us and He has the Word, and it is perfect. So I know I am not perfect, and I won't be able to share with you the perfection of God. Our goal this afternoon is to just look a little bit at the Passover. Look at the requirements of the Passover and look at the correlations of Jesus Christ and the church today. I want to spend a little bit of time in the Exodus, we'll probably maybe look at Exodus 4 here at first. It's been a little bit since I've looked at these notes, so hopefully I'm not too scattered. But every time I go to a communion, I start thinking about the Passover and what it meant to the children of Israel, and ultimately, what does it mean to you and I today? So the 22nd and the 23rd of April, which was, if I have it right, Monday and Tuesday, was the Jewish Passover Seder. And they worshiped, or they had the Passover Seder the 22nd and the 23rd day of April 2024. That was just this week. And on those two dates, anyone outside of Israel would observe the Passover for 2 days. If you were in Israel, you would only observe it on the 23rd day. So what we'd like to do is first realize who we are before God. We all remember it in Genesis the third chapter, when Eve partake of the fruit and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and each one of us was pronounced upon that death. Death to all men. So we need to keep that into context in the back of our mind, that we are born to die because we are the seed of Abraham, or seed of Adam. So as we keep in context this weekend that we are all eternally damned, eternal hell is our destination. Then we get to, we're going to go back to here in Exodus 4, and we're going to look at for just the 21st through the 23rd verses, if I have it right. The children of Israel here are in captivity in Egypt. They're not necessarily being treated well any longer. And Moses has come in, and he is pleading to let those people go. And God has sent plague after plague. So here at the 21st verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine heart. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So now, I want to correlate that we are that son that will be slain, as happened in Egypt, when the death angel comes around. But we're going to look at Exodus 11 and Exodus 12. We're going to read it together so that we get context here. So the 11th chapter of Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt afterwards. He will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. So here it is. This is not just the firstborn of the sons. This is the firstborn of their maids, their servants, their beasts. All firstborn shall die. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, and as there was none like it, nor shall like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my words may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. That's this month in Israel. Speak ye unto all the congregations of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month thou shalt take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Okay? Remember, the tenth day here is also the correlation of Jesus Christ coming in on Palm Sunday, exact same day. That's the way I catch it. That's the way I understand it. So they selected a lamb for each one for their house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That's 4 days later. 4 days after triumphal entry, I believe Christ died on the cross. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Where was the blood of Christ at? It's on the cross and on the post. Wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I want to stop here for just a minute. I would like to correlate this to man and eternal damnation. If the blood of the Lamb is on the house, the destruction, the destroyer, the angel, will pass over. See any correlation to the believers here today? This was so exciting for me, and maybe I'm all wrong, but it seems to really fit. And this day shall he be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. Forever. Why would we keep it forever unless it means something? 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from that first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Many times in Scripture, leaven is sin. I don't know that's the only application. How about as we cleanse ourselves before we come to the table, that we repent of our sin, that we cleanse our house, that we are free from the power of sin, the power of death, before we come before the Lord and partake of the emblems of His blood and of His flesh. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And the first day there shall be a holy convocation. I believe that first day is a Sabbath day. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which is every man must eat, that only may he be done of you. Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day what I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house. Whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even the soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. This is allowing for sojourners, those that have decided to be a part of Israel. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover, and take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel on the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord shall give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the heads and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord, as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men, and the people took their dough before it was leavened in the kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramus to Succoth with about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. Mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks of herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes and the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not carry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourner and the children of Israel who dwell in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all of the hosts of the children went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord. For bringing them out of the land of Egypt, this is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. That's another note. Not a bone shall be broken. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when the stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger, the sojourner among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded, as Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. There is a lot in there. We read it very quickly, not sure how precisely, but what I'd like to do is maybe sing hymn number 96 quickly as I get my bearings again. So hymn number 96, sorry, deacons. Let's go ahead and sing it. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000 thousands are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Look here at Numbers. It's a recounting and a command. Numbers 9. You can listen or you can turn, doesn't matter. The 11th verse starts out, 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Talk about the Passover. And they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean is in a country forbeareth to keep the Passover. In other words, he's not keeping the Passover. Even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. Just remember that. If the stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinances of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. He shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was on the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, appearance by night. I think we'll just stop there. The points we wanted to look at was in 13th verse. And that is, if we choose to not observe the Passover, if we choose not to apply the blood to our lives and our heart, I'd like to think of our heart as a door. If we don't apply that blood of Jesus, that lamb, that sacrifice, and that Passover, if you look at the end of the 13th verse, it says, that man shall bear his sin. That man shall bear the penalty for his sin. That is eternal damnation. If we apply the blood, that death angel will pass over. I want to look here at some New Testament scriptures quickly. 1 Corinthians 5. Sixth verse. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, what's the next word? Our Passover is sacrifice for who? For you. For me. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of the sincerity and truth. Look at Ephesians 1. Sixth verse, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. His blood, that perfect Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I think that's law, but also sin. Let us now be ready to meet the Passover soon this evening as we partake of the Lord's Supper. I think about back in Exodus when we talked about taking a lamb. We was to look at that lamb. We were supposed to live with that lamb. We were supposed to get to know that lamb. We were supposed to make sure that that lamb was perfect. We were supposed to take that perfect lamb, observe it, love it, feed it the best. And we were supposed to take that innocent lamb. We were supposed to kill it. Take that blood, put it on the doorpost. I wonder how many of us have taken the time to get to know our lamb. Have we inspected the lamb that God sent, his only son? I think about Abraham. He took Isaac up on the mountain. God said, sacrifice your son. Abraham took his son. Remember what Isaac said? He says, here's the fire, the wood. Where is the lamb? No, I'm just saying my own words. But he prophesied, Abraham prophesied there. More than one time, I believe. He said, God will supply a lamb. He supplied a lamb there in Abraham, in that thicket. But he also supplied a lamb, his son. One we've come to remember. One we've come to reverence. One we've come to understand that he was perfect without spot. Without blame, without blemish. Just a little lamb. One that can't care for themselves. In your house, you fell in love with that little lamb. Now it's time that you slit its throat. You apply the blood. That's what your sin, my sin, has caused. That damnable heresy that we have. The damnation of Adam that we have taken on in our flesh. How many of us have really looked at ourselves and thought maybe we might just be a little better than others? What about those that are down there in 3rd Street as I thought about where my friend Kevin lives? We think we're just a little better than them, don't we? Maybe not quite as much sin. How many of us would be able to say we've never lied? Never told the untruth? No matter how large or how small. How many of us can say that we've never taken something that was not ours? How many of us have envied or lusted after something that was not ours? How many of us have not loved like Jesus loved? We have hated people, and Jesus said that is murder. Who are we before God that we think we are not as the worst criminal? If God is love, then God has to be just. And God has to serve punishment to everything that is unjust. That just dessert is death and hell, grave. You and I. We can look at men, and we can judge whether their evil is more evil than we are. When it comes to eternity, before the angel passes over and takes us from this life to eternity, it all matters whether we have applied the blood. The blood of the Lamb, that perfect sacrifice. Without the blood of Jesus, were no different than a man like Hitler. We think of the atrocities that a man like that has created. You and I are just as dark, black, as evil, each one of them. Now we got this perfect Lamb. Now tonight, we're going to observe that perfect Lamb. We're going to see the torn body, the broken body of Jesus. We're going to think about Him sharing the Last Supper there with His disciples. Look here at John 1. Verse 36. Here is John. Start at the 34th verse. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold our Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God. I go to 1 Corinthians 5:7. Oh, I did. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let's just sing one more time before we part here. I'm just going to sing and I'll sit down. If someone else has some other thoughts, they can do that. We'll sing 509. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathering round his head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh.